We end this hour in India, where an iconic folk art is disappearing. Snake charmers used to be a common sight at Indian markets and festivals, beguiling people with their ability to control some of the world's most venomous reptiles. But critics say it's a tradition based on cruelty and that it can't stop fast enough. NPR's Corey Flintoff hit the streets of New Delhi in search of a snake charmer.
It's not easy to find a snake charmer these days, even on Nag Panchami, the yearly religious festival in honor of the king cobra. It took a full day of searching to find Buddhanath, a thin brown man sitting cross-legged on the pavement behind a round, flat container, a bit like a tortilla basket. Buddhanath has a long white beard, a loosely wrapped orange turban, and a sweet, joyous expression as he taps the basket. He's Lord Shiva's cobra, and we worship him, Buddhanath says. The blue-skinned Hindu god is usually portrayed wearing a king cobra around his neck. The charmer flips the lid off the basket, and the cobra pops up like a jack-in-the-box, scanning around with its hood fully extended. It fixes its gaze on the tip of Buddhanath's gourd flute. The cobra's black scales glisten as it sways, following the movement of the tip of the flute. It looks to be about 4 feet long, coiled in the basket, with a small, almost jewel-like head and glittering black eyes above the outstretched hood. For a couple of minutes, the man and the snake seem connected in a very ancient, intricate dance. But the snake can't hear a thing.
Snakes don't have ears. Most people don't know that.
This is Kartik Satyanarayan, a co-founder of the animal rescue group Wildlife SOS.
But snake charmers use the pipe. So what the snake sees is simply something which is menacing above him, which is swaying. So the snake's attention is focused on the swaying object and moves along with that. So it appears to people that the snake is actually dancing to the tune of his pipe.
Satyanarayan says the illusion of the poisonous snake tamed and charmed by music is often based on very cruel practices. In order to prevent the snake from biting, snake charmers sometimes break off the animal's fangs or sew its mouth shut. The result is that the snake can't eat and slowly starves to death. Buddhanath insists that he has done nothing of the kind. He says the snake has merely been tamed and won't bite. He also says that he's about to release the snake back into the wild because he can only keep it for 6 months. A 1972 law forbids anyone from keeping a snake, but it hasn't been enforced much in the case of snake charmers until recently. The Indian government has tried to accommodate traditional snake charmers while trying to keep them from capturing more snakes. The government implanted identification chips under the skin of some snakes that were already in captivity so that it can scan the animals and confiscate any that are newly captured and have no chips. Satyanarayan says his group is trying to rehabilitate snake charmers by turning them into snake rescuers, the people who are called to remove venomous snakes from city and suburban gardens and restore them to the wild.
So today, instead of catching a snake and using it, exploiting it, killing it, they actually help us protect snakes.
And he says, it's not just the law that's working against the snake charmers as performers. People in India are now more attuned to television shows and video games than they are to street performers of any kind. Still, if it were possible to save something from the art of snake charming, it might be this. That seductive little song that snakes can never hear. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, New Delhi.
Our program is directed by Greg Dixon, edited by Corey Turner and Allison McAdam, and produced by Brendan Banaszak. The technical director is Peter Alina. The engineering supervisor is Robert Jackson. Our planning editor is Jerry Holmes. The staff includes Art Silverman, Rob Ballinger, Melissa Gray, Janae West, Theo Balcom, and Gabe O'Connor. Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. The managing editor for NPR News is David Sweeney. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.